Life in the Word Ministries presents Teaching All Nations broadcast with Pastor Rita Davis. The series topic is It's a Mind Thing. Now, it's time to renew your mind with the Teaching All Nations broadcast with Pastor Rita Davis.
Good morning, everyone. Thank God for you being with us here this beautiful Sunday morning. I'm Pastor Rita Davis, Pastor of Life in the Word Ministries. Thank you for joining us today with Teaching All Nations broadcast. We're excited about the word on today. We're going to finish up with the mindset of rejection, part four. We pray and hope that you will hear something and receive something that's going to be a blessing to you and that you will be set free from the mindset of rejection. God bless you.
Now, I don't know about you, but I feel the presence of God moving. I sense God's anointing, and somebody is leaving this building differently than the way they came. Somebody listening to me right now is going to be changed as they welcome the presence and the anointing of God. Would you just slip one hand up and say, Lord, you are welcome in this place. Now lay your hands on yourself. For the Bible says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and the Spirit of God dwells in you. I want you to lay your hands upon yourself and say, Lord, you are welcome in this place. Say it again, Lord. You are welcome in this place. Now just lift your hands and receive His glorious presence. Kurt, come help me, son. Sing this. Lord,
my brother,
heal and deliver.
My sister,
oh,
Lord,
I
Come on, clap your hands and worship the Lord. Come on, worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. Worship Him. Come on and praise Him with your whole heart.
Praise the Lord. We thank God. Today we're going to finish up with the spirit or the mindset of rejection. We have had a wonderful time with this series. We have had an awesome time with talking about the mindset of rejection. I want to thank those of you that's been calling me and giving and just putting your comments in the chat line, letting me know how much this series has been a blessing to you. I took my time on this series because I know a lot of people are dealing with this mindset, the mindset of rejection, with a lot of things that's going on in the world today. We have a lot of people feeling rejected, feeling abandoned, feeling neglected. And we're not just talking about children. We're talking about adults. We're talking about believers. We're not just talking about unbelievers. We're talking about believers of Christ. And today we're going to finish up. This is part four of the mindset of rejection. So today we're going to talk about how Jesus handled rejection. I'm going to take my time and we're going to go through this lesson. And then we're going to talk about how we can break the spirit of rejection, how we can come out of the mindset of rejection. And we know one way is through the word. We have to get in the word. The word is a cleansing agent. It's a transformer. It's a renewing agent that God has given us. And a lot of times we don't want to get into the word. We don't want to read or we don't want to study. But in order to have our minds renewed, it's going to be by the word of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we have to do our part. So today is going to be good. It's going to be great. We're going to talk first about how did Jesus handle rejection? How did he respond to rejection? We know that Jesus suffered a lot. He was rejected by family, by friends, by the religious leaders. And it had been prophesied for thousands of years that Jesus would come and be the Messiah, and that he would lead the people into deliverance, and he would be a savior for his people and then also for mankind. But we find in the Bible and the Gospels that when Jesus came, he was rejected by many people, his family, so-called friends, and by the religious leaders. But he is an example of how we should handle rejection. The thing about Jesus is he didn't show resentment. He didn't show bitterness. He didn't show anger. And we also think about Joseph. Let me go ahead and bring Joseph into this. Joseph was rejected by his brothers. But also, let's look at this too. Joseph's brothers were rejected by their father. Their father rejected the brothers, and then the brothers in turn rejected Joseph, their brother. And we talked about how rejection breeds rejection. And that's why we have to really be careful. I say this to parents, especially if you have more than one child. We have to be careful with how we treat our children. It's dangerous to show favoritism of one child over another, because one child is going to feel rejected. And then that child, if God doesn't help, they will develop a pattern of rejecting because they've been rejected. We talked some about abuse people, hurt people, hurt people. So we see with Joseph and his brothers and his father, Jacob, how Jacob rejected the brothers and the brothers in turn rejected Joseph. But the Bible does not record that Joseph became bitter or resentment, even when they sold him into slavery. And he went from Potiphar's house and he was falsely accused of attempted rape. And then he was put in prison. The Bible does not record that Joseph became bitter or angry. He just went on with what was he was dealt with. And we know the story ends with Joseph, God elevating him in the land of Egypt. And he in turn had to be a blessing to the very ones that had set him up. He in turn did not show rejection to those who rejected him. Jesus did not reject those who rejected him. Now, he corrected them when they were in error, when they were wrong. He corrected. And God will correct us, but he will never reject us. So I just want to go through a few things this morning talking about how did Jesus respond to rejection. Jesus was emotionally devastated. He was not emotionally devastated when he was rejected. He was not derailed from his mission. Even though he was rejected by family and friends, Jesus had his mission in sight. He never lost sight of his mission. He never lost sight of his purpose. He never lost sight of why he came. And thank God for that, because if he had, we would not be here today. Many of us would not be here today, and we would not be able to be saved. We would not have a right to the tree of life. So Jesus dealt with rejection, but it did not emotionally devastate him. He was not derailed from his mission. He knew the secret of being an overcomer, and that secret was trusting in God and the very being, trusting his very being into the hands of God. We have to learn how to be like Jesus. We can't allow rejection to emotionally damage us, even though many are. But God is a healer. He's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God that heals. He's the balm of Gilead. He's a great physician. He will heal you. But we're going to talk about how Jesus responded and handled rejection. So I hope you got your Bibles. I hope you got your mobile devices. Never listen to someone teaching or preaching without having your Bible, so you can see for yourself what they are saying and if it's in line with the truth of God's word. How did Jesus respond, or how did he handle rejection? Number one, Jesus knew to expect unjust hatred. He knew it. He knew when he came, people were not going to receive him. We as believers got to understand that as long as we're naming the name of Christ, we're not going to be received by everybody, especially the world. As long as we're walking in God, standing on God's word, believing in holiness, not compromising to the ways of the world, we are going to be rejected by people. And sometimes it's going to be within our own household, within our family, among those who we consider friends. A lot of times people will reject us because of who we are in Christ, especially when we know who we are in Christ, when we walk in that authority, when we walk in that boldness of the power of God that rests on the inside, not being prideful or cocky or arrogant, but being secure in who we are in Christ. So Jesus expected to be rejected. John 15 and 25 tells us they hated me without reason. John 15 and 19 says, I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. When we are really walking in the ways of God and we're standing on God's word and his truth, people are going to reject us. And they're not going to like us. There are going to be some people just not like you just because they just don't like you. And guess what? You can't worry about that. As long as you're doing the will of God, as long as you're serving God, no, Pastor Davis, I'm not perfect. I got faults and flaws. I make mistakes. But God is a forgiving God. He's a merciful God. He's a just God. He's a restoring God. He's a redeeming God. Oh, my. Don't get me started this morning on who God is and the power of God and his character and his nature. Hallelujah. His attributes. I love that. He's omnipotent. He's all powerful. God can do all things except lie or fail. But first we see that Jesus expected to be rejected. If we're going to be believers in this hour, especially in this day and time, we're going to be rejected by people. And sad to say, it's going to be sometimes by the people we consider friends, especially when we walk in who God created us to be and we walk with assurance and security. Hallelujah. A lot of people are not going to like it, but that's okay, long as we're doing the will of God. So Jesus expected to be rejected. Number two, how did Jesus respond to rejection? He knew to expect persecution. Matthew 5 and 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. John 15 and 20. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. Let me say this to the believers, especially the believers listening. We need to get past it. We're going to be persecuted in this world. It's a given. We're going to be lied on. We're going to be talked about. We're going to be rejected. Some people will try to mistreat us and abuse us if we allow them. This is a part of the walk. God, Jesus said in his word, God said in the word, in order to reign with him, we got to do what? suffer with him. That means to suffer with persecution. Part of that persecution is being rejected, being talked about, being mocked, being put down because of our faith in Christ, our belief in Christ. But now a lot of us are going through things because we're doing stuff on our own. It had nothing to do with Christ. And we need to repent for that, trust God, and keep it moving. But Jesus knew to expect persecution. We got to understand that when we stand up for Christ, we are going to be persecuted. That's why we have to ask God to make us strong. Strong in our spirit, man. Prepare us for the rejection. Prepare us for the persecution. Because as we see what's going on in the world today, it's getting worse. Hallelujah. Crime is on higher height like never before. We're seeing so much crazy stuff. The mass shootings and even the black on black crime increasing in our young black men being killed. And hallelujah, all of these things. And we're seeing a persecution of the church, and we're seeing a compromise of people who don't want to deal with the persecution. They don't want to deal with being rejected. They don't want to deal with identifying with Christ. They want to be accepted by everybody. But I'm here to tell you today, if we're going to be received by Christ, there's some people that's not going to receive us. And we have to be prepared for that. We have to be ready. And one way to be ready is we got to set our minds on Christ. We got to set our hearts on Christ. We got to set our thoughts on Christ. We got to be like what it said here. He was not derailed from his mission. Jesus was driven by a passion for his purpose. We got to have a passion for who God created us to be and a passion for the assignment and the purpose that he's given us. I'm in a whole nother message. That may be our next series, but he did not let the rejection keep him from doing the will of God and doing the purpose and the assignment that God has given him. We have got to, in the body of Christ, excuse me, really become mission-minded, assignment-driven, driven by our passion for our purpose like never before. So how did Jesus respond to rejection? He knew to expect unjust hatred. He knew to expect persecution. How else? Number three, Jesus had enemies, yet he loved them. Oh my God, that's a mouthful right there. Who are we talking to? I hear some of you say, I don't know, Pastor Davis. God got to help me. Ooh, he got to help me. Matthew 5:44, love your enemies. Oh my God. Luke 6:35, love your enemies. Do good to them that persecute you and curse you and come against you. What? Oh, that's a mouthful right there. How did he respond to rejection? Especially from his enemies, he loved them. Come on, talk to me. What did he say on the cross? When he hung there on the cross and was shedding his blood, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I don't know about you, but I thank God, because even though I wasn't there physically, I was there spiritually. Hallelujah. He was speaking about me. Hallelujah. Because I haven't done everything I was supposed to do. Hallelujah. I can't talk about Adam and Eve. And if I had been to God, I probably would have ate the fruit way before God even had said anything. Hallelujah. We want to judge other people. But the truth is, a lot of us, hallelujah, we're not where we think we are. But Jesus, he had enemies, but he loved them. How did he handle with rejection? He loved those that rejected him. He loved those that persecuted him. Oh, Pastor, you got to pray for me, because this is a mouthful this morning. I hear you in the Holy Ghost. But hallelujah, if we have the Spirit of Christ on the inside of us, we have the ability to love our enemies. And we have to yield to the Spirit of Christ. Number four, how did Jesus respond to his to rejection, to the people who rejected him? He prayed for those who persecuted him. Okay, Pastor, now you stepping hard. Now you first you said love, now you saying praying. I got to pray for them too. I had a woman of God tell me years ago, she said, Pastor, when I hear that we're supposed to pray for our enemies, I got a problem with that, because you mean to tell me I got to ask God to bless my enemies? Woo, she said, I don't know. She said, that's a bit much for me. Hallelujah. I said, but you know what? You're also thinking about it in the wrong way, because you can pray that God will bless your enemies to become the person they should be in God, so they won't become your enemy. Shatobo Shaba. If they're a person full of hatred and bitterness and resentment, oh my God, if they've done you wrong, that doesn't mean you overlook it, but you can pray for them that God will do what he needs to do in them so that they won't continue to do that. But what did Jesus do? He prayed for those who persecuted him. Luke 23 and 24, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Matthew 5 and 44, pray for those who persecute you. So hallelujah, we're not just saying God rain down blessings on them and that they just keep on. We can bless our enemies by praying for them that they be healed, because hurt people hurt people. We talked about that. We can pray that they be delivered, and we can say, God, what they did hurt me. So, Lord, I want to pray for them that they'll realize that the way they're coming off to people, the way they're treating people, Lord, they need to be delivered. See, we want to make things always about material things, but we can pray for people's heart. We can pray for their deliverance. And I believe that's going to be my next series. I'm praying about it, really dealing with the fruit, dealing with the root of situations. So number four, how did he respond to rejection? He prayed for those who persecuted him. I see somebody lifting their hand saying, pray right now for me, Pastor. Pray for me that I'll be able to pray a prayer that for my enemies, that they, hallelujah, God will bless them to be delivered, to be healed, to be saved, to be set free in the name of Jesus. I don't care how gullible shot. In the name of Jesus, when we get to that place of where we should be in God and we can handle rejection, you talk about the power of God that will rest on you. Some of you said, I want the power of God. Power, power, Lord. Some of you say that. How do we get the power? We got to die to ourselves. I mean, we got to love those who don't love us. We got to treat them right that don't treat us right. We got to pray for them. Hallelujah. That don't, hallelujah, walked over us or tried to walk over us. So God, we got to learn how to pray for those who persecute us. Number five, how did Jesus handle rejection? I'm loving this because it's working on me. It's working on me. It's working on me. He modeled forgiveness toward those who sinned against him. Oh my God. Oh my God. Luke 6 and 37. Forgive and you will be forgiven. You know what? A lot of times we forget the stuff we've done to people. We forget. God told me this years ago. I'm just going to be honest with you. I was going through, this was with a leader. And I'm like, Lord, this leader did this, they did that, and da 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 da. And I'm going to tell you, I was sitting at my desk at my work, my job. And I'm just going through all that this leader had did. And the Holy Ghost said, well, you're guilty of the same thing. Oh, my God. It shut me up. I was like, oh, my God. Here I am for years pointing fingers at him. Hallelujah. And I'm guilty of the same thing, but may not be in the same arena or same area or with the same people. That thing hit me. And God said, I see you doing the same thing that you're accusing him and blaming him of. And you keep bringing up what he did or what she did or what they did. God said, you're guilty of the same thing. A lot of times we want to hold unforgiveness and bitterness in our hearts. Hallelujah. And we forget what we've done to people. So now what I have started doing, and I'm going to be honest with you, I have said to God, I said, Lord, those people that I have hurt, touch their heart to forgive me. Help them to forgive me, God. And help me to forgive those that have betrayed me and hurt me. But God, don't let me forget, hallelujah, the things that I have done to people, that I won't have mercy. How do we get on this subject? Talking about how Jesus handled rejection. Hallelujah, he was able to forgive those who had sinned against him. Matthew 6 and 14. If you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father, hallelujah, will also forgive you. We want God to forgive us, but we got to forgive other people. We got to let go. We got to let go. So many people are dying and in sin. Don't you know unforgiveness causes cancer? It brings on strokes. It immobilizes. It paralyzes us from going forward in God. And saints, an unbeliever, who am I talking to? We got to forgive. We got to, well, Pastor, you don't understand. It's hard. You're not going to be able to do it by your power. You're going to have to call on the power of God. You're going to have to get on your face, get on your knees, stand there, lay there and say, Lord, help me to forgive. I'm calling on your strength. I'm calling on your grace. I'm calling on your mercy, because I know until I let go of this bitterness and let go of this anger and let go of this unforgiveness, oh God is speaking to somebody this morning, I will not be forgiven by you. And God, I may not even be healed. We got a lot of people sick today because they will not let go of what was done to them yesterday. So how did he handle rejection? He showed forgiveness to those who had sinned against him. Number six, Jesus understood that those rejecting him was rejecting his Father. Talk to me up in here. Luke 10 and 16. He who rejects me rejects him who sent me, and he who rejects you rejects me. Sometimes people are going to reject us, as I said earlier, because of what we stand for and who we stand for. That is not really you, so don't take it personal. A lot of times it's not about you. It's about who you stand for in Christ, what you stand for in righteousness and truth. You're not going to compromise the word of God. Hallelujah. And we got people in the church. Hallelujah. They'll go to church. Hallelujah. But they'll compromise the word. They'll compromise the ways of God. Hallelujah. They think it's okay to live any kind of way. Hallelujah. And then think they can just call on God and God just gonna bless like that. Yes, he's merciful. Yes, he's gracious. But then God has a standard. So sometimes people are not rejecting you because of you personally. It's because of who you are in Christ. Who is the Lord talking to this morning? I hear some of you say, well, you know, Pastor David, there's some people I've been trying to reach and trying to show love to and trying to get to them. And, you know, I give them the word of God. And you see, when I give them the word, they come against it. Hallelujah. It's not you they're coming against. It's the word of God. Hallelujah. That you're speaking and you're decreeing and you're telling them about that they're coming against. That word of God is like a, what it says, a sharpening a two-edged sword. It cuts both ways, coming in and coming out. It's so sharp. It's like a surgeon's a tool that has to be sharp to cut those organs, hallelujah, and not be dull, and hallelujah, and cause infection. So God's word says, when I come through cutting, I'm going to cut clean across. I'm going to cut between the marrow and the bone and the soul and the spirit. I'm going to cut, hallelujah. So when it comes out, it's going to bring out everything that's not like God. Hallelujah. So it won't leave anything. Hallelujah. To cause infection, to cause bitterness. Hallelujah. To cause spiritual sickness. Who is God talking to today? You know why some people don't like getting in the word? Because the word is truth, and it shows us who we are. We don't want to accept it. It exposes us to ourselves. We don't want to change. We want to stay in our mess. We want to continue to live like anything. Who is the Lord talking to this morning? Oh, I hear the Lord saying, hallelujah. Hallelujah. His word, hallelujah, is coming to clean, to purify. It's a cleansing agent. It's a washing agent. It's powerful. Hallelujah. We got to get in this word and let the word tell us who we are and who we're not. And let the word tell us what we need to be doing and what we shouldn't be doing. Come on, people of God. Hallelujah. Quit compromising. Hallelujah. Quit allowing the devil to deceive you. Telling you, hallelujah, I can just live any kind of way. I believe in holiness. The old people said, holiness without no man shall see the Lord. Hallelujah. But we're talking about rejection on today. Let me give back. Hallelujah. Getting excited. Number seven, how did Jesus respond to rejection? And all of these are lessons we need to be taking in. Jesus, when rejected, was dependent on his Father for every word he spoke. Oh my God, my God, my God. There are going to be times God's going to send you to somebody or to some people to give them a word. They're not going to like it. They're going to reject you, reject the word like Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. And you cannot take it personally. But God, Jesus said, you know what? I'm doing the will of God. I'm just speaking what God telling me to speak. We got to learn how to say what God gives us to say. Do it in the right spirit of love and the spirit of truth. He tells us to speak the truth and love at what? All times. Mark 3 and 11 says, whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given you at that time, for it is not you speaking, but it's the Holy Ghost. John chapter 12, verses 48 and 49. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. Talk to me. That very word which I spoke will condemn him at the what? Last day. For I did not speak of my own. When we speak what God tells us to speak, it is God's responsibility to honor his word and to bring it to pass. Just make sure we're speaking what God say. For I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. So I'm saying to you today, if you're obeying God and doing what God is telling you to do and saying what God is saying to say, when he said to say it, how he said to say it, it is not up to you to bring it to pass. It's up to God. You may experience rejection, persecution, but we got to learn how to stand in God. Jesus was, he had such a relationship with God. He had such an intimacy with God. He was one with him. Hallelujah. And we can become one with God in prayer through the word. Hallelujah. That when he speaks it, we say it. We're not worried about it. Hallelujah. God is going to do it. He's going to bring it to pass. And he will give us the grace and strength to endure rejection. Number 8. How did Jesus respond? How did he handle rejection? Jesus knew that some in Jerusalem had killed and stoned the prophets. And now Herod wanted to kill him. But love, not fear, was Jesus' focus. Matthew 10 and 28. Don't be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Hallelujah. We got to be driven by love. We got to be pushed by the love of God and the power of God. He knew in Jerusalem they had killed prophets and teachers. And he knew Herod wanted to kill him. But what? It was his love. Love for what? Mankind. Mankind. His people. His creation. Thank God. Somebody give God a praise on that. Give God a praise on God. God, thank you for your love. Because the truth is, if it weren't for the love of God, I'm gonna be, I would not be sitting here today, and I definitely wouldn't be preaching. Hallelujah. Listen, to say it like it really is. Many of you listen, you know good and well you wouldn't be sitting where you are. It's the love of God. But Jesus came, and thank God, love conquered all. He said in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only what? Begotten Son, that whosoever what? Believeth in him should not what? Perish, but shall have everlasting life. How did Jesus handle rejection? He did it, hallelujah, by showing love, even though he knew his life was in danger. Number 9, how did Jesus handle rejection? How did he respond to rejection? Jesus said he would be rejected, but in the end, there would be a blessing. Oh my God, saints of God, don't you know when we stand in the midst of rejection and persecution, don't you know there's a blessing on the inside? I'm here to tell you, some of you are shifting into a season of on the other side of the rejection. You're about to enter the other side of persecution. What is that other side, Pastor? God is about to bless you and reward you for your faithfulness. He's about to bless you and reward you for your steadfastness. He's about to bless you and reward you for your faithfulness. Talk to me up in here. We serve a God that is faithful. You think he's going to let you go through that and not reward you? Oh, yes, he is. Yes, he is, woman of God. Yes, he is, man of God. You stand on the word of God and know on the other side of you doing the will of God, God will bring a blessing. Mark 8 and 31. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. Oh my God. Luke 6 and 22. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and exclude you and insult you and reject you. Hallelujah. And your name is evil because the Son of Man is going to bless you. Be encouraged. Those of you that's dealing with that right now, if you're doing the will of God, you're saying what God said to say, and you're dealing with rejection, God said a blessing is coming. Number 10, last one. Jesus expected trouble as he submitted to the Father's purpose, yet Jesus was an overcomer. We got to learn how to be overcomers in the midst of what's going on in our lives. God cannot have no weak soldiers. God cannot have no jelly back, broke back, weak soldiers. Some of us can't take nothing. We can't take somebody talking about our shoes. We can't take somebody talking about our hair. God is tired of that. He's trying to raise people up. He's trying to raise up an army that is overcomers, know who they are, walk in the authority and the power of the Holy Ghost, that we can endure persecution. We can endure rejection. We can endure mockery. Come on, talk to me. We are in the last days, people. God is raising up an army. I want to be in that army. I don't want to be weak. I don't want to fall back. Hallelujah. I don't want to be like that soldier. Can't take the heat. Hallelujah. Can't take somebody talking about me. Can't take somebody not accepting me. I want to be what God would have me to be. John 16:33. In this world you will have what? Trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. John 12:27. Now my heart is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Jesus came. God sent Jesus to teach us how to be overcomers. If you study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you see the walk of Jesus, the life of Jesus, the talk of Jesus, the love of Jesus, how he walked in power over the works of the enemy, how he taught his disciples and followers how to use that power, how he taught his people how to speak that word, how he taught his people how to walk in faith. We need that because we have to learn how to be overcomers. Guess what? That means we're going to deal with some stuff. We're going to have some stuff we got to deal with, but we got to learn how to be overcomers in the midst of that. So how did Jesus deal with rejection? How did he respond to rejection? How did he expect trouble as he submitted to the Father's purpose, but yet he was an overcomer? How? He rose with all power in his hand. We're getting ready to celebrate what is called Easter by some by Passover, some called Resurrection Sunday. Oh, my Shandolabosa. And we're talking about how Jesus overcame. And he rose, hallelujah, from the grave with all power in his hand. And as a believer, you have the Spirit of Christ on the inside of you. Therefore, you have power to rise above your situation. You have power to rise above whatever the enemy brings your way. You have power to rise above it all. So we thank God. Those of you watching and listening, I need you to praise God right now. Say, thank God for Jesus that he taught me how to walk, hallelujah, in overcoming power and how to handle and respond rejection. I want to finish up this morning talking about how to break the cycle of rejection, how to break it. So I'm going to mention four things, and we're going to meditate on these four things. What did I say? It's going to take the word of God. Saints, we got to get in this word. We got to meditate. Hallelujah. Day and night. Hallelujah. What was it God told Joshua? Hallelujah. Meditate on this word day and night. Hallelujah. Not just in the morning, but in the noonday, in the nighttime. It's the word of God that's going to transform us. How to break the cycle of rejection. Meditate on these statements right here and memorize these scriptures. Number one, John 15:9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. This is Jesus. Just because someone rejects you doesn't mean that everybody will reject you. Jesus loves us no matter what others choose to do concerning us. God told me this last year. He spoke to me last year during this pandemic. I was in a quarantine. God said, I want my people to get to a place that my love is what they look for, they seek for, and they allow my love to compensate for the rejection of other people. We have to get to a place that God's love is going to compensate for the rejection of God of other people. Just because other people reject us, God will never reject us. Get in God's presence. Let God's presence bathe your heart. And let the presence of God and the word of God just minister to your heart and touch your heart. Hallelujah. Just because someone withholds love from you doesn't mean everyone will withhold love. God will always listen to us and will never withhold his love from us. Psalm 66:20. Praise be to God who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. So what do we meditate on? Just because somebody rejects us or don't show us love doesn't mean everybody else will. And God definitely will not reject us. Number two, let's deal with the worthlessness. Meditate on these scriptures. Luke 12, 6 and 7. Are not five sparrows sold for two pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid, for you are worth more than many sparrows. Just because someone may think you're worthless doesn't mean everyone else will think that you're worthless. God has already established our worth, and because of him, we will always have worth. We got to quit letting people make us feel like our value and worth come from them. Not so. Not so. Honey, we are worth value in God. Number three, how to overcome this cycle of rejection? Meditate on this. 1 John 4 and 16. We know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. If you notice a pattern with these scriptures, it's all talking about God loving us. We're not going to get the fulfillment of love from human beings. I'm here to tell you. I'm here to tell you. I'm pretty sure married couples out there, you can testify to this to a certain extent. You're not going to get fulfillment of everything in your spouse. We got to get fulfillment of everything in God. So we got to deal with this self-hate. Just because someone has rejected us doesn't mean that we should hate ourselves. There are people out there who hate themselves because somebody they looked up to, somebody they value as important, rejected them. And so they feel like they're worth nothing and have developed self-hatred. That spirit is what causes people to want to kill themselves. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's go to Romans 8 and 1. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Just because someone has rejected me doesn't mean I should condemn myself. God will never condemn me because I am in Christ's family. And the last, number four, meditate on these, talking about negative behavior. Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap even more destruction. But the one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Just because someone has rejected you doesn't mean we should act destructively. Doesn't mean we should behave in an unseemly manner. Doesn't mean we should give up. How to break this cycle of rejection at the end of the day is to receive the love of God. See your value in who God created you to be. Who am I talking to you? Brother, sister, man, woman, boy, girl, child, God loves you. You are not rejected by God. You are not. I don't care what you look like, how you built, how you sound like. I don't care what education you have, what education you don't have. I don't care where you live. I don't care about that. God will never reject you. So I want to come against this spirit of rejection. We're going to pray. This is our last night talking about the mindset and spirit of rejection. So I want to pray for those listening and watching and say to you, I'm coming against that spirit of rejection, feeling unloved, feeling accepted by people, but you are accepted by God. To that unbeliever, I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what you're dealing with. I don't care what's going on. God will receive you. All he asks for is for you to give him your heart, believe in Jesus Christ, accept him as your Lord and Savior. Surrender all to him. You can't do it on your own. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. I'm doing some stuff. I really want to come out of it. Guess what? Hallelujah. You're not going to come out of it until you come into Christ. Then Christ will give you the power to he'll break that power. He'll break that stronghold from over you. So I want you to just begin to look unto God now. Heavenly Father, I'm lifting up everybody listening and watching. We thank you, Lord, hallelujah, that we are overcomers. I'm speaking that over everyone listening and watching. You are an overcomer. I'm speaking to the unbeliever that you be drawn by Christ now, that you give your life to Christ now, you give your heart to Christ right now and receive his love. All you got to do is believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed his blood. And I'm speaking to the others. We come against that spirit of rejection. We bind it. We rebuke it. We take authority over it. We render it powerless, ineffective, and inoperative in your life right now. And I call for the spirit of love. Hallelujah. The love of God for you to receive the love of Christ right now in Jesus' name. May God's love overshadow you. overpower you, overcome you. May the love of God drown out all the things that's not like him in your life. I decree it and declare it. I speak about the authority of the Holy Ghost that you be free from the mindset and spirit of rejection in Jesus' name and receive the love of God. May you be blessed. May you be blessed. May you be blessed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Put in the chat line what God is doing for you. Let me know through the chat that you gave your life to Christ. Share this video. Hallelujah. I thank God for those of you that's been sharing. Share it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. To people that you know need to break that cycle of rejection. But we want to let you know we love you. We want to encourage you in the love of God. For God is so awesome. And he is so great. And he is so magnificent. He's an awesome God. I love him. Hallelujah. And as you grow in God, your love for God will grow even more. So we thank God for those that watched and listened on this beautiful Sunday morning. Hallelujah. With Teaching All Nations broadcast. We thank God for you. Now, by way of a few announcements, we are working our way to put our recordings and our messages on our website. We're working on that. Hallelujah. I understand that Facebook is about to be making some major changes concerning some things, and we want to be able to play what we want to play and say what we want to say. And so we're working on that. Our website is LITWPM. PMinistries.org, LITWPMinistries.org. We're working on that. Hopefully sometime in April, we'll have that set up. You'll be able to go to our website, listen to the music, listen to the messages. We got some other things planned that we're going to be putting on our website. And we're also at YouTube, Teaching All Nations channel. Hallelujah. And I want to give a shout out to the wonderful men that's with Kingdom Builders Christian Network. These are some great people that's been blessing us. Some of you have been complimenting the work. These are some awesome men of God. They are just dedicated to doing the work of God. So we thank y'all. Many of you complimented the whole setup, everything. Wow, you know, Pastor Davis, they did it. They are creative. They're innovative. And I just want to just say, I want to thank them, John Schultz and James Green, to these two great producers. They've just been a blessing, and they're doing it for the kingdom of God. Shatobo Shebaya. Oraba Sekandobo. And God is going to bless this company. He's going to bless it in great ways. And we're speaking that and decreeing, declaring it. Open doors for this. So we're looking. We're going to have some more things coming. So just be excited for us. We thank God for you, for those who've called and reached out. And if you want to be a financial blessing, I gave the wrong Cash App address. God forgive me. I was called up, people of God. It's Life in the Word PM number one. Cash App, $, Life in the Word, PM number one. Hallelujah. That's the Cash App. You can go to Tithely, T-I-T-H-E.ly. You don't have to just do tithe. You can do offerings, tithes, whatever you want to do. Hallelujah. If you want to be a blessing to the pastor, that's fine. And also you can mail in. Some people still do checks. I've had people to give me checks. Hey, we'll take it. Long as it's good, we'll take it. You can mail it to Post Office Box, 874 Redan, Georgia 30074. Life in the Word Ministries. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Life in the Word Ministries. You can mail it there. I want to thank God for those of you. I've enjoyed talking about the mindset of rejection. So we're coming back next Sunday. We're going to have a new mindset. Hallelujah. Come with expectation. Share it with your friends, family, those of you know who's dealing with these things. Share it with them. If they need healing and deliverance, we want to the word to be a blessing to them. So we'll be back next Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. on YouTube channel, Teaching All Nations, Life in the Word channel, and on Facebook, Life in the Word. And we eventually will be working from also on our website as well with a new mindset. I also want to throw this out. Some of the material that I was using during this series and will use from Joyce Meyer's book. Yeah, those of you who don't know, Battlefield of the Mind. That's an awesome book. That's an awesome book. And also from June Hunt, who's an awesome Christian counselor. Got a lot of her material, biblical counseling through the Bible. awesome book. You want to know how to deal with certain things? Get those books. So we bless you on today. We thank God for you on today. And God willing, we'll see you next Sunday at Teaching All Nations broadcast. Be blessed.
You may be sitting right now on your job, in your home, wherever, and you're trying to figure out this thing that we call life, what's going on, and you're afraid to reach out to a loved one. But if you go back in time and you have to say to yourself, every time I needed him, he was really there. Every time I called on him, he was really there. When we needed him. But what about the time when we need him the most? When it comes down to something that we did to ourselves, who can you call on then? I know I can call on to the God that's inside of me. And this is what I'll say.
Lord, deliver me. 'Cause all I see to do is hurt me. Hurt me. Lord, deliver me. 'Cause all seem to do is hurt me, oh Lord, yeah, hurt me, yeah, yeah, Lord, deliver me, 'cause all I seem to do after chance, but God, I know you said in your word that you'll never leave me, you'll never forsake me, you'll be there with me always, always, and I'm walking out of this thing saying,
this is my answer,
yeah,
this is my answer,
I'm saying goodbye to the old me.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Thank you for watching the Teaching All Nations broadcast with Pastor Rita Davis, which airs every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. on Facebook Live, on the Life in the Word Ministries page, on YouTube at Life in the Word, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, and also on KBCNTV.com. Teaching All Nations broadcast with Pastor Rita Davis is brought to you by Life in the Word Ministries. Visit us on the World Wide Web at www.litwpministries.org. Remember to watch and spread the word of Teaching All Nations broadcast with Pastor Rita Davis.